about, you know, going forward in God and going forward and seeing, you know, that there's more than just more than just meets the eye to life. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Yeah, kids, I released the kids. Did I not say it loud enough? He's ready to graduate, that's what it is. So Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We read this last week, but we're going to read it again. Amen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead yet, speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, because your word is a light to our path, a lamp to our feet. Father, that you show us the way to go, and that Lord, is if we just stay in your word and allow that faith to begin to build within us, that you would keep us, that you would bless us, and that, Lord, that you would bring us home to you. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I've titled my message this morning, Developing and Exercising Extreme Faith. Anybody ever dreamed about having extreme faith? Anybody ever dreamed about, you know, being Peter or Paul or, yeah, I do. I still do. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting the greatness of God to flow through us. There's nothing wrong with seeing the men and women in the scriptures and saying, God, I want to be like that. And then realizing that there's still another step yet to go beyond what we see in the scriptures as our examples and to become just like Jesus. Amen? Because that's our ultimate goal. I mean, the reality is if I'm trying to compare myself with even the men and women of the Bible that showed us extreme faith, I'm falling short. Because I should be wanting to compare myself to Jesus Christ. Have I measured up to that yet? I didn't hear a bunch of people yell no. You should have, because I haven't measured up to that yet. I don't think any of us have. But, you know, what I was talking about last week is that our faith begins to develop. And the more we exercise our faith, the stronger it becomes. And if faith is something that we have to have, because what does it say? Without faith, it what? Is impossible to please God. So it's not something that, well, maybe this person over here gets and that person over there gets, but I'm left without. No, faith is something that we need to strive to obtain, to see it grow within us, to build it, to exercise it, To the point where now we can exhibit, we can exercise extreme faith. See, a lot of times we get in a little bit of a quandary because somebody needs a miracle. And we're too shy to pray for the miracle because we're afraid it won't happen. Right? We've talked about that before in here. We're just afraid it won't happen, so we'll call the pastor, or we'll call an elder, or we'll call someone who we think has special prayer powers. Well, I want you to know that we all have special prayer powers. All we got to do is start exercising it. All we've got to do is start calling out to God and saying, God, let this happen. Let me see it. Let there be a testimony. Not getting anybody excited this morning. Instead of letting Satan come and tell us, well, you're not quite there, so just be quiet. You're not quite up to that standard, so, you know, maybe you shouldn't pray. You're not quite to the standard that we see with our founders of faith, so don't even try. Well, how many of you know that if we don't try, if we don't exercise the Word of God, the faith that He's given us, we will never see those extreme results? Amen? We want to see miracles in our life? Start proclaiming the Word of God. We want to see those things happen? Start proclaiming the Word of God. Forget about what the world says. Forget about what all the naysayers say. Forget about everything. Proclaim the Word of God. He's given us His Word to build that faith. I want to take us to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles, we probably know this very well. 2 Chronicles 7. We heard the president read these words not too long ago. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7, starting at verse 14. Very well-known passage of Scripture, but it's a very powerful passage of Scripture. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Anybody believe that our land needs healing today? Amen. I believe our land needs a lot of healing. And the only way our land is going to see that healing is if God's people begin to pray, if we turn from our wicked ways and we seek His face and we proclaim His word. Amen? Our world needs to hear it. Our government's not going to teach our children to pray. You may see little glimpses of light here and there, but as a whole, our government is not going to teach our children to pray. It's not in their best interest. Uh-oh. It's not. It's not in their best interest. Because it's in their best interest to keep you ignorant so that they can control you. Not just one party, all parties. All government. So there's actually seven steps here that that if we follow, there's seven steps to building that faith that will cause us to realize that we're the ones that have the power. Amen? Because that power is living inside of us. But so many times we allow the enemy to say, oh, that's, you know, settle down. Don't speak. Pray in your closet. Don't get all excited about anything that's going on because it's just not going to happen. How many of you know Satan is a liar? He's the father of lies, in fact. He's a liar. But if he can keep you in that spot, he's won. Even if he's lost your soul, if he can keep you from allowing the word of God to go forth from you and touch your neighbors and touch your family, he's won. He's only lost one. Boy, when you realize that my faith makes a difference in my community, that my faith, when I let it go forth, changes someone else's life. Now the devil's lost another soul. You see, Satan's not scared of a church full of people. He'd pack this house to a standing room only and make us go to two services if everybody in here would just be quiet. And if everyone in here would not share their faith. And if everyone in here would just get a form of religion, he'd pack the place for us. But see, Satan is worried about you starting to develop your faith and starting to testify about the things God's done in your life and starting to show forth his power, his glory, and allow it to flow through you. That's what scares Satan. When you begin to pray and realize, hey, wow, God heard me and he's doing it. Woo, that ought to get you shouting. I'll tell you. So we're going to talk about the seven steps to developing extreme and exercising extreme faith. We're going to go to, I got the word right here in front of me. Psalms. Wow. See, the enemy doesn't want you to hear this. Psalm 37. Isn't it amazing? Psalm 37, verses 23 through 28. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Amen to that. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Anyone say, I am blessed? Amen. His seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. So this psalm in this passage starts out, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in their way. That's you. God is ordering your steps. It's up to us to hear it and say, okay, this is what you want me to do. And not only is he ordering those steps, setting things in order, showing us the way to go, it says he delights in that way. That means he's delighting in you. Come on now. He's delighting in you. Why? Because you're now on his pathway. You're now following his steps. He's delighting in you. And what does the last part of that say? He is blessed. Every now and then I get a comment that, because if you ever ask me how I am, what do I say? I'm what?
Blessed.
I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed every day. I am blessed coming in and going out. I am blessed no matter what the circumstances look like. I am blessed. Why? Because His Word tells me I'm blessed. And I know what, I know for a fact that it's a whole lot better than it was before I got saved. It's a whole lot better. I wouldn't go back for all the gold in this world. You could give me Trump's millions, billions, whatever he has. You could give me Elon Musk's billions. You could give me all the other millions and billions that all these big shots have, and it wouldn't compare a bit to what God has given me. Amen? I wouldn't trade it for one moment of my salvation because it's not worth it. So the first thing is we have to, obviously, have to hear. We're going to go to Romans. My daily Bible reading plan. I love it. I follow it. So Romans 10. Verses 16 and 17. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Did you hear that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We want to see faith arise, start quoting the word of God. Amen? We want to see our faith begin to build, start quoting the word of God. But for so many that call themselves Christians, and I'm not judging anybody, it sits on the shelf and gathers dust. Maybe they open it on Sunday morning. Maybe they hear a little bit of the word on Sunday morning, but the whole rest of their time, they're doing whatever is drawing them away from God. They're out, you know. I'm probably going to get kicked out of here, but they're fishing on Sunday mornings. They're hunting on Sunday mornings. I can honestly say I've never been fishing on a Sunday morning, and I love to fish. I've never been hunting on a Sunday morning, and I love to hunt. There's a lot of things I like to do, but there is no way that I would ever trade it for spending a Sunday in the presence of God with all His people. It's not worth it. And it's not worth keeping quiet because faith has to be spoken. The word of God has to be cast abroad so that others can hear that faith. Others can hear His word, and there's a spark of faith that begins to build within them. The man that led me to Jesus, he witnessed to me for 2 solid years. 2 solid years. Enduring all the garbage that I gave him because I didn't want to hear. I didn't want to believe. I didn't, you know. 2 solid years. And unfortunately, in the military, you see these guys every single day. It's not like somebody you see once a month or what, like it was every single day. And it got to the point where he wouldn't really witness to me in any other way but to tell me, Mark, Jesus still loves you. Jesus still loves you. Jesus still loves you. And I say, Lieutenant Pennell, I don't want to hear it. And he'd say, Jesus still loves you. And he was persistent because he knew that the Word of God would spark just that seed of faith. And I love the man for it. Because what if he'd have quit? What if he'd have said, that guy, he is not worth it. I'm going to curse him out. That guy's just not worth it. And say, Lord, send me to someone else. But he never did. He spoke the Word of God until that seed of faith began to grow within me. We must hear the Word of God. John 3. I know everybody knows this one. We can probably, most of us, quote it. For God so loved the world, I'm not even there yet. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Do we understand that God didn't send Jesus to condemn us? We were condemned already. God sent Jesus to bridge that gap, to take me from the place that I couldn't go and give me a hand and say, come on over here with me. Come spend the rest of eternity with me. I can't hardly keep from crying when I realize that the maker of this world, Almighty God, the Creator, loved me. Love me enough to want to spend eternity with me. And because I couldn't get there, he created a way. He sent Jesus so that I might be saved. And if we allow that to begin to percolate within us, It would cause us to just get this overwhelming desire to begin to share that with everyone else. No matter what they say, you know, I wish that everyone I'd ever spoken to would have got saved. I really do. But you know, sometimes that's just not to be. Sometimes we're the one that's going to plant the seed. Someone else is going to water that seed somewhere down the row. And then somewhere else down the row, somebody's going to get to harvest that seed and watch and see them taken from the miry clay and planted on the rock of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't matter what my part is. What matters is that I allow his Spirit to begin to flow through me and let someone hear the Word of God. So that someday, that invitation comes and we say, God, I'm done with everything that's mine. Now give me what's yours. And watch the Holy Spirit begin to fill them as their sins are washed away. And as they come to the realization that all of a sudden, now, I don't have that burden of sin anymore. When I gave my life at the altar, Naples, Italy, 1975, actually 76, When I gave my heart to the Lord, Lieutenant J.G. Pinnell was right next to me. He followed me right up to the altar. And as I gave my heart to the Lord, all of a sudden, I felt those burdens that I'd been carrying for years begin to fall off. And everything became good. And I was happy. And I was exuberant. And I was shouting. and I was praising the Lord. I didn't care what anybody thought of it at that time. I still don't. I invited the Lord into my heart. And I said, God, make me your subject. Become my king. You see, Romans 10:9 and 10, we talked about Romans 10:16 and 17, but Romans 10:9 and 10 said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the most misunderstood verses in the entire Bible, I think, because it's not just saying that God is God, not just saying that you believe in Jesus, but you're saying that, Jesus, I want you as my Lord, the one I submit to, the one that I allow to conquer everything within me. And I give it to you. Amen? There must be that invitation. James 5. Verses 12 through 16. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Is there any among you afflicted? How many of you know that there's plenty of affliction in the church? Plenty of affliction in the world. Sickness running rampant. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Lost my place. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and he shall have, if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Wow, that's quite a word right there. If any sick, call for the elders of the church. They will pray over him. And the Lord will save him. And he's not talking about salvation as far as giving our hearts to the Lord, but he could be. He's talking about he's going to take the sickness away. And he doesn't say that it might be, could be. It says that he will. Amen? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I never hesitate when someone tells me they're sick. I go pray. It is as simple as that. And some people, they get uptight and thinking, well, what if it doesn't happen? Well, what if it doesn't? I can guarantee you it won't if you don't pray. Amen? I can guarantee it won't happen. Oh, but if we pray and we allow that faith to begin to rise up, All of a sudden we realize that, hey, we're one of those crazy Christians that's out there preaching the word and watching people get healed when the doctors say there's no chance. I don't mind people saying I'm a fanatic. Hey, call me a fanatic. All I know is that God said it, I believe it. Amen? And that I've said it before, that bumper sticker that people have on their car, God said it, I believe it, that settles it, is hogwash. If God said it, that settles it, regardless whether I believe it or not. But I'm glad that I'm one that believes it, because then I get to see it happening in my life. I just have to get up enough bravery, get up enough gumption to start exercising the faith that I say I have. Amen? We have to unite with God. The last one was act. I don't remember if I said that. We have to unite with God. Isaiah, 40th chapter. This is another scripture we're very familiar with. Isaiah 40. Starting at verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Did you hear what the word said there? Now, how many of you remember when I did the demonstration about the waiting on the Lord? Anybody remember that? Right. Took the strings. See, that word wait doesn't mean to sit back and just see what's going to happen. That word wait means to entwist, to entwine, to twist like a rope. And if God is entwisted with me, if there's no part of me that isn't connected to God, then the word says I will rise up on wings as eagles. I don't know if I like that part because I don't like heights too much. But I'll take it, amen? They will run and not be weary. You know, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I could run, you know, 20, 30, 40 miles. It didn't hardly affect me. Now I can't run a mile. Knees won't handle it. Someday in heaven, I'm going to be able to run and not be weary. Amen? They walk and not faint. I can walk forever. But as long as I'm twisted together with God, as long as that is there's no separation there. Oh, God's going to give me the ability to see that extreme faith start to be manifested. And how many of you know our world needs the manifestation of the extreme faith? We must unite. Number six, perseverance. Back to James. I'm going to give you your workout in the scriptures here. James 1, verses 1 through 8. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Now he says to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. How many of you believe you're part of the 12 tribes? Well, a few hands. Remember, we were grafted in. Amen? We are part of the 12 tribes. Whether we realize it or not, we are part of the Jewish nation. So he's writing this to who? Us. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So he's telling us here that the trying of our faith is what builds our faith. The testing. I talked last week about Mike Ewelson, when he came to our church, lifted 1,000 pounds up over his head. You know, I would have never believed it. But he didn't start out that day lifting 1,000 pounds. Amen? He started out with little weights and built it up. 5, and he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men a little bit. Huh? Liberally. That giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. In other words, he doesn't hold it back. He's not saying, well, I'm not going to give this to you. I'm going to give it to your brother over here, but you're not worthy. He gives to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it might be given him. Huh? Will be, shall. The word here in the King James is shall. It shall be given him. He's not saying that there's a possibility. He's saying that it's going to happen, period. That builds my faith. That gets me to the place where I believe what God said, and because I believe what God said, he's going to do it within me. And when he does it within me, his word says that his word becomes like a river of living water that flows out of me. Sometimes we're just not to that place yet. Sometimes we're still allowing the enemy to block that. And we're allowing the enemy to keep someone that we love or someone that we work with or someone that we live next to from hearing the word of God. That not ought to be. It not ought to be. There should never be a doubt from anyone that this is what needs to happen in our society. The Word of God needs to touch every single person. When I was in Bible college, we realized that there was a whole section of the city, township that we were in, that hadn't really heard of the Lord. And we started going across the railroad tracks to the bad section of town, a place where you could easily physically get in trouble, stabbed, shot, whatever. And the college tried to tell us, don't go there. I said, but they're the ones that need it the most. They need to hear. And so, like the good guy I was, I disobeyed. I kept going. And people started getting saved. Now, they didn't come to our church, and that's okay. We're not trying to fill a church. We're trying to fill the kingdom of God. Amen? God will take care of the church. We're trying to fill the kingdom of God. So I kept going. And people kept getting saved. And I kept going. And people kept getting saved. But it was through the perseverance of hanging in there and allowing my faith to be tested. Well, I'll tell you what, it was a testing time. It always is when you're witnessing to somebody who doesn't believe. And every time I think of, wow, Mr. Pinnell must have had a lot of patience. But it takes that perseverance to allow that faith to get strong, so that when the faith is strong, it begins to be exercised. And we exercise, then people begin to hear the word of God and become saved. Amen? They become healed. They become whole. They become righteous. But if I never exercise it, where are they going to hear? Where are they going to hear? They won't. Verse 7, Romans 10. You ever figure out I like Romans? I like it all, truthfully. God's word is so good. I even read the genealogies, and I think, you know, this is getting a little boring, Lord. And just about the time I think it's getting a little boring, all of a sudden, one of the people pop out as, whoa, they were related here. And all of a sudden, I start getting in a deep study going, wow, because that's the word of God. Amen? Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? You see how important you are. You are so important to the propagation of the word of God, because you will talk to people I will never talk to. You will talk to people who will never come into a church. But how can they hear if you're not the one that's going to speak? They must hear the word of God for that seed of faith to begin to grow in them. Here's where we get hung up. How then shall they hear without a preacher? That's where we get hung up. Well, I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You may not be on a pulpit up here, but you are a preacher, because that word preacher just means someone who proclaims the word of God. You are a preacher. And I'll tell you, if you start envisioning in your mind that you're a preacher, if you start allowing that to begin to percolate within your soul, that I am a preacher, if you begin to allow that to happen, you will find that God will bring words to you, whether through a sermon that you heard or something that you read, that's going to affect your community in a way that you can't even think of. Come on now, that really ought to excite you guys. You know, it's wonderful to have the Holy Spirit move and, you know, things happen within the church. But you know what the greatest thing that I love is outside the church? When I can ask someone, are you ready to accept Jesus Christ into your life and ask your sins to be forgiven? Are you ready? Are you ready to step out of the pits of hell and plant your feet on the brink of heaven and hear them say, I'm ready. And I begin to lead them into the sinner's prayer and watch as the Holy Spirit begins to transform them. And then I just get back to step back and get to ready to see the growth. Amen? But there has to be that testimony. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians 10. Wasn't sure I was going to get through this today. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 9 through 14. Neither murmur ye, as some of you also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them as examples. Remember how I was telling you last week, we have all these men and women of faith, and they're by examples. And just because they failed doesn't mean they're failures. Just because we fail doesn't mean we're failures. It just means that we need to exercise faith a little bit more. Where was I at? And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In other words, we're not there yet. We can't look down on someone and say, they're not worth it. We can't look down on someone and say, well, you're not where I'm at yet. We can't look down upon anyone and judge them, because if we do, pretty soon we'll find that we're the ones falling. Amen? There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Oh, but God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. See, God's not going to set you out there for failure. He's not going to take you to a place that you're not strong enough to stand. He's not gonna take you to a place and then say, well, let's see how you do here. He's got your back. He's got your back. As we go down that path of patrol, you know, we've got brothers and sisters that are with us. They're watching to the left, to the right. They're watching to the back, that we're going to fail. He'll show us the way to escape. If we're ever feeling tempted, it's not because of God. It's because of the enemy. What we need to do is we need to look to God and say, okay, God, you promised me, so show me the way. Show me the way that your righteousness will shine through me. There should never be a doubt with anyone that we know, whether we work with them, whether we live close to them. If we have any kind of even a minor relationship, there should never be any question whether or not we are born again, whether or not we are servants of God. Help! Help! They know. I know you guys don't know this person, so I'm going to tell you. Several years ago, we had an incident in our church, and family got mad at us. Told us we were bad pastors. It happens, you know. And I'm not making light of that. It hurt me. They left the church, went to another church. few years later, after we'd moved here, probably 5 years, 6 years after the incident, we get a phone call. And guess who? Pastor, I need help. I need prayer. Why? Because they knew who would pray. They knew who believed. They knew who would lift them up and take them before the Lord and who share the truth of God's word. Amen? If we're not out there to preach the word, if our light's not shining, if those kind of things don't happen in our life, can we be rejected? Of course. And rejection never feels good. We might be all called all kinds of names. But that's okay. That's okay. I listen to the name Jesus calls me. My friend, my son, my daughter, the one whom I love, as John said. That's what I hear. I don't care what the rest of them call me. Amen? We could have our prayer team come forward. If you're here today, maybe you have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, as your personal Savior. Maybe you're here today and are listening on the internet, Facebook, whatever it is. That's not my thing. Maybe you're listening out there and you've never allowed Jesus to become Lord of your life and given it all over to Him. Jesus Christ, amen.